Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Stocks to Watch, Wall Street Breakfast's Weekend Edition, our news team's weekend preview of upcoming IPOs, earnings reports, conference presentations, investor days, FDA decisions, Barron's mentions, and other key events that could impact stocks to set you up for the week ahead in the markets. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Good morning. Today is Sunday, November 15th, and I'm your host, Rena Sherbel. We begin with a breakdown of the week ahead from Seeking Alpha's news team. Investors are likely to continue to hedge their bets between growth and value and vaccine plays versus COVID shutdowns in the week ahead. Economic reports to watch include updates on retail sales, existing home sales, and jobless claims. On the corporate side, big box retailers Walmart, Target, and Home Depot all spill their numbers. NIO is also in the earnings confessional with a report that could impact Chinese EV peers XPeng, Li Auto, and Kandi Technologies. Finally, Boeing will be closely watched to see if the FAA lifts the grounding order on the 737 MAX. In earnings news, we have Tyson Foods, Palo Alto Networks, Baidu, and JD.com reporting on the 16th, Home Depot, Walmart, NIO, and Kohl's on the 17th, Lowe's, Target, NVIDIA, and TJX companies on the 18th, Macy's, Ross Stores, Workday on November 19th, and Foot Locker on November 20th. In IPO news, Aspire Real Estate Investors, NeoGames, Telos, Sutera Health, and Maravai Life Sciences are all expected to price their IPOs next week. Maravai appears to be the largest of the bunch, with a biotech looking to raise $1.27 billion. There is also some speculation that e-retailer Wish and kids gaming company Roblox could file for an IPO next week, to follow DoorDash's filing from Friday. Quiet period expirations arrive on Guild Holdings, McAfee, and Datto on November 16th. Meanwhile, IPO lockup periods expire on Chewy and 89bio on November 16th, as well as Avantor, Futu Holdings, and Select Quote on November 17th. In M&A news, the tender offer on the Myocardia Bristol-Myers Squibb deal expires on November 16th. Shareholders with Virtusa will vote on November 20th on the bio by Baring. Keep an eye on AECOM, Norfolk Southern, and F5 Networks with activists circling. In oil news, traders in the energy market could be a little edgy next week after OPEC warned that global oil demand will rebound more slowly in 2021 than previously forecast due to the acceleration of COVID-19 cases. A meeting on November 16th through the 17th of the OPEC Plus committees could provide an indication whether a planned output increase for next year is likely to be delayed. On the positive side, a surprising build in U.S. crude inventories last week surpassed even the most bearish forecasts. Crude oil futures closed the week at over $40. Doing a deeper dive on some big box earnings previews, as we said, it's time for retail heavyweights to dole out Q3 earnings reports and issue guidance updates for Q4 and FY21. Analysts expect positive cadence commentary out of Target, with the retailer gaining market share and benefiting by shopper trip consolidation. Target is also seen benefiting from a strong product calendar with its high share in gaming and positive outlook for toys. There's a bit more caution on Walmart due to the impact of stimulus coming to a halt and a COVID spike in some of the retailer's key parts of the country. In the age-old debate between Home Depot and Lowe's, Gordon Haskett prefers Home Depot into earnings week for the two home improvement retailers on his view that the pro and do-it-for-me business will take off next year. Home Depot has beat profit estimates 11 of the last 12 quarters, while Lowe's has topped consensus marks 9 out of the past 12 quarters. On a year-to-date look at share prices, gains for Walmart are at 24.7%, Target at 24.4%, Home Depot plus 26.5%, and Lowe's nearly plus 32%, well ahead of broad market averages. New York Times Deal Book, the two-day conference featuring talks by SoftBank CEO and Dr. Anthony Fauci on November 17th. A panel discussion on the race for the vaccine will include Bill Gates and Pfizer CEO. JP Morgan's Jamie Dimon will give a talk on November 18th on the path forward for the economy. In the Dividend Watch news, Ned Davis Research gave a shout out to dividend stocks this week. Advised the firm, macro conditions are more favorable for investors looking to add dividend stocks to their portfolio, with the important caveat to focus on players with strong balance sheets. Making the Ned Davis dividend stocks list includes Philip Morris, Williams, Citizens Financial, Altria, AbbVie, and Iron Mountain. Looking at next week, the projected dividend hikes in the week ahead include boosts for Kite Realty, Agilent, Motorola Solutions, American Equity, Cisco, Nike, Royal Gold, HP, Spire, and Everest REIT. A huge week of blockchain events includes the Block O20 Global Virtual Summit running from November 17th through the 19th. The large number of online presentations will include talks from cryptocurrency executives like Celsius Network CEO Alex Mashinsky, CoinStreet Partners founder Samson Lee, Bitcoin.com founder Roger Ver, and Natixis chief economist Alicia Garcia Herrero. This week in Barron's mentions, the stocks and themes drawing attention in Barron's weekly edition, Intel is recommended despite its high-profile engineering stumbles. Shares trade at a steep discount to rivals in the semiconductor industry ahead of an expected announcement by the company on a new hybrid manufacturing approach. There is a warning sounded on Alibaba on regulatory risk after Beijing released a draft of antitrust rules aimed at checking popular digital platforms for monopolistic practices. As far as investing in a post-pandemic recovery, the publication keeps it simple. Value stocks, small caps, and international equities are all seen gaining from a global reopening and recovery, while gold is called a hedge against inflation and a weaker dollar. The iShares Russell 2000 Value trades under IWN, iShares Russell 1000 Growth, IWF, Energy Select Sector Spider XLE, and Spider S&P 500 under SPY are seen as attractive ETFs. Five small cap value stocks to consider ahead of an economic recovery are SP Plus, Wintrust Financial, Acme United, Century Communities, and Atlas Air Worldwide. This week, we close out with our single stock focus. A lot of good news for the cannabis industry since the election, and D.H. Taylor catches us up with Curaleaf. Curaleaf closed the week at just under $11. Taylor begins here. The cannabis industry has seen more interest from investors after the major sell-off over the past year. But not all companies did poorly during that period of time. Notably, Curaleaf, a company whose stock sold off during the past year, is one of the largest producers of cannabis in the U.S. They have operations in 14 different states in the country, so did not get overextended during the Canadian buildup. They have no operations in Canada. They are a company that focuses on wellness aspects of cannabis and CBD, not necessarily the adult use side of the business, albeit they have some products in this vein. Last quarter, the company achieved a break-even level and are poised to grow its revenue beyond the break-even point and become profitable. Curaleaf stock will move higher. Taylor writes, revenues continue to grow upward with Curaleaf. This is good news as the company's profits continue to get closer and closer to above break-even. The quarter saw GAAP EPS at zero, which beat expectations by 0.03 per share. Also, the revenue of 117.48 million was up over 142% year over year, and that beat expectations by 7.79 million. Adjusted EBITDA was 27.99 million versus 4.4 million in second quarter 2019. Mind you, the company achieved its break-even earnings as well as pushed its revenue upwards some 22% quarter over quarter during the headwinds of the COVID shutdown. Now that the majority of the shutdowns have ended, I expect this growth to continue. However, there are two variables at play right now with COVID. First, Pfizer announced a drug with a 90% efficacy rate, but at the same time, a lot of governments are considering shutting down cities, counties, and states as they did before because of the large resurgence of COVID cases. Information to weigh. Another thing I want to point out is that there were a few election victories that are notable in the U.S. that may help out any cannabis companies here in the states. Arizona, Mississippi, Montana, New Jersey, and South Dakota approved cannabis. Arizona for rec, Mississippi for medical, Montana for rec, New Jersey for rec, and South Dakota for medical. This shows the acceptance of cannabis is becoming more widespread. Taylor concludes with this. I see a lot of reasons to own Curaleaf, a company that is poised for continued growth and on the verge of profitability. With continued revenue growth, as well as near break-even profitability, Curaleaf is in a very strong position. Overall, Seeking Alpha authors skew very bullish on Curaleaf, with two very bullish and one bullish. That concludes this week's Stocks to Watch. Thanks so much for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Alpha Trader, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Essay for FAs on those platforms as well. Have a great week.